Good morning. You are listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church of Hurlock, Maryland. I'm Bill Windsor. Stay with us for the next half hour and listen as our pastor, Dave Talley, preaches from the Word of God to us.
God is who He is, and He has always been that. Throughout eternity past, He is immutable, He is unchanging, and He will always be the same. And Jesus Christ, being divine, is just like that. The scriptures actually say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's really important because your salvation depends upon God's reliability. If God is fickle and changes His mind like we do, then we're in trouble. The fall of man has blocked our access to God. It has blocked our understanding of Him. It has inhibited our ability to commune with Him, to communicate with Him. And since the fall, God has been working the plan of redemption, not only by the work of His Son on the cross, but by revealing Himself to us and continually pointing to His Son and the work of His Son on the cross. What happened in the garden was a breaking of trust. There was a relationship and it was ruined by Adam and Eve choosing not to trust God. And so for that relationship to be restored, the trust has to be restored. And we have been given the Spirit of God. You were just singing to Him, Spirit, lead us where our faith is without borders, where we can walk on the waters, wherever You call us, wherever You command us to go. The Spirit is given to us, and the regenerating work of the Spirit is done in us. But the way that redemption is accomplished and that restoration of trust is accomplished is through us learning the principles of truth that describe the God who made us. And we have a real problem with that. I mean a real problem with that. And especially as a preacher, I stand up here and I try to give principles. And there are certain people, and it's not necessarily a matter of intelligence. Some of it's experience. Some of it's personality. There's a variety of reasons why when you speak in principles and abstract, it's almost mathematical truth. Some people just go, and they just zone out. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes it's vocabulary limitations. Sometimes it's just Satan getting in the way. So God has graciously, in His condescension, one of my favorite words, in Him stepping way down to where we are, God has used a variety of tools to teach us the principles, the truths about who He is and His nature and what He's like. And some of those tools are really helpful. The parables of Jesus are a great example. The stories, because we like stories. Yeah, I got my degree in stories, degree in history. That's what it is. You go and sit in class and listen to the professor tell you stories. You take a test, you get a degree. I was like, man, this is great. We attach ourselves to stories, and Jesus knew that. He's the one that created us the way we are. But the stories weren't just so you could memorize stories and know stories, and they could be emotional stories that you'd be like, oh, you're so special, you know, the father received the prodigal son and loved him. Oh, my heart. It's not just so you can be touched emotionally, but so you can learn something about who God is. Right? The story of the prodigal son is much more than just a story about a couple of brothers who didn't get along too well, and one was all high and mighty, and the other one was a useless louse, and yet the father loved him anyway. It's more about, it's telling us who the father is, right? The Father in that story is the Father in heaven. And you're the prodigal son, unless you're the elder son. I hope you're not that one for sure. But we don't just have stories. We have metaphors and illustrations and symbols and prophecies that kind of just, they almost just echo the truth. It's not there. You just kind of, by the leadership of the Spirit, you read this story and then you think about this truth and you're like, hey, I think this is related. And it just kind of pushes you in the right direction. When we talk about apostasy, there's a lot of principles that we need to get into. I'm going to try my best to use the various tools that God's given us. But I want you to do the hard work of focusing. When I start speaking what some people would just simply call doctrine, you know, here's these truths, not illustrating, not giving you parables, not giving you symbols, just this is the truth. Do the hard work of staying focused. Because that's what God's actually trying to point us to. Because it's through accessing those truths and implementing those truths, because it's not just something you learn, it's through that that we fellowship with Him, that we commune with Him, that we build a friendship and a relationship with Him, and we get to know Him. And according to Matthew chapter 7, you knowing Him and Him knowing you is the most important thing. This series is called Deconstructing Apostasy. What we're going to try to do is take apostasy and pick it apart and look at all the pieces and show that you are in danger if you've not received Christ as your Savior, but you've been exposed to the gospel, and especially if you've kind of been nodding your head and kind of riding the ship with the believers around you, you're in danger of becoming an apostate if you don't truly place your faith in Jesus Christ. The longer you are exposed to the gospel without actually committing your life to Christ, the more likely it is that you'll turn from Him in the end. So we're going to deconstruct apostasy. And apostasy is spiritual demolition. It's Satan destroying people. That's what apostasy is. It's Satan destroying people. And he destroys them by exposure to the truth, a form of religion, but no reality. No actual walk with God. So this is a study on authentic faith, the reality of faith, and people turning from God because their faith is not authentic, people forsaking the faith that they once professed. Last week, we talked about the strong foundation which we are to build our life upon, which is Jesus Christ. No foundation can be laid except Him. It's not He's a good foundation, there are some mediocre foundations over there and some over there that are really bad. No, there's one foundation, Christ. You build your life anywhere other than on that foundation, you are building without a foundation. That's what Matthew 7 teaches. If you went to the small group meetings this week, a grace group, then you got to dig a little deeper into this issue. Not just there is a foundation which is Christ, but is your faith in Christ? And is there proof that your faith is in Christ? Is there evidence that your faith is in Christ? And if there's not evidence, then something's got to give. You got to surrender. You got to let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to that's keeping you from actually placing your faith in Jesus Christ. So last week was all about that firm foundation in the true gospel of Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Today, we're going to talk about building on sand, which I'm calling nearsighted religion. Nearsighted religion. Just a reminder, a few words that are important. A deconstruction, big word, simple meaning. It's a current thing that's going on in our culture where people who have been religious, who have been supposedly Christians, they get disenchanted and they say, you know, I'm not so sure about all this stuff. I'm going to do my own research. I'm going to be critical in my thinking here and I'm going to figure out, you know, if this is the real thing or not. Usually the people doing deconstruction are not true believers, and so what they do is they end up throwing out the truth and holding on to lies. They'll throw out some lies, lots of truth, and hold on to a bunch of hogwash. That's usually what ends up happening with deconstruction. And it's happening all the time. People walking away from church saying, this is not real. But deconstruction is a thing in our culture. Whether you know about it or not, it's a thing. And it's the spirit of the age. And it's going on all the time. Even though some people don't even use this term. Some people have never heard this term. It's still going on all the time. Today what we're going to talk about is deconstruction that is instantaneous. Sometimes deconstruction is a process. People become less involved. They become more critical. They begin to look for error. And look, you want to look for errors and you want to look for problems in the church, you're going to find them. Because this church, I don't know how many people's here today, 80 people, that means there's 80 sinners. Okay, so, you know, the best people here, you're around them long enough, you're going to be like, well, I thought they were okay, but not so much. Right? So you're looking for problems, you're going to find them. I mean, look at the 12 disciples. There are plenty of problems in the 12 disciples. So there's only one perfect man, that's Jesus. So a lot of deconstruction happens over time, and then people eventually realize, you know, I never did believe all that stuff. And they walk away. But Jesus speaks about deconstruction that happens instantaneously. Jesus said, those who build their life on a rock, the house, the structure is our life, they're building on a rock, and we know the rock is Christ. When the difficulties of life comes, when the trial of their faith comes, when judgment comes, their house will stand. Not because it's great construction necessarily, but because, and that's important too, you got to build the right materials and build the right way, but because it's built upon the rock, that's a wise man who does that. That's the will of the Father. That's the way He wants things done. Build your life on Christ. Not just your soul salvation, but everything. Build your marriage on Christ. Build your finances on Christ. Build your emotional health on Christ. Build your physical health on Christ. Build your social relationships on Christ. Build your career on Christ. Build everything on Jesus. In all things, He wants to have the preeminence. That's the big principle, abstract Bible word for it, which means top, 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 and everything in between from the top to the bottom. Okay? Build everything on Christ. But the foolish man builds on sand, builds without a foundation, by disregarding what God wants, disregarding what God is doing in his or her life, and building the life your own way. It might look good. It might look just like the guy sitting in the seat beside you at church. But it's built on the wrong foundation. What is the will of the Father? See, we can actually hide behind abstract principles. Amen, preacher. We should do the will of the Father. Amen, let's go eat lunch. What is the will of the Father? Now, Russ, I don't have a list in my head. I mean, I have a few items, but I mean, it'd take a long piece of paper to write down things that are God's will, right? There are a lot of things in the Bible that are specifically listed as God's will. So let's just pick a few that are really big deals that we can kind of sink our teeth into this morning and walk out of here saying, okay, this is the will of the Father, and I don't want to build on sand. I want to build on a rock. So this is the will of the Father. This is what my life's got to be. So what is the will of God for your life? Is it a mystery? Are you truly sitting there going, I have no idea? Or do you know? What's God's will for your life? What's God's will for my life, for our lives? What is it? Somebody tell me. You don't listen to me preach all the time. Why don't you preach? That is His will, that we live eternally with Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The way we live eternally with Him, of course, is by placing our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the work of God. That's the will of God, that we believe, that we truly trust Him. That's good. And that we help others to trust Him, right? Isn't that the will of God? So if you're not trusting Him and you're not helping others to trust Him, then you're not doing the will of the Father. You're building your life on sand. What else? What else is the will of God? Share Jesus. Tell people, point people to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. What else? Learn more about Him. He wants us to know Him intimately. He wants us to pray. He wants us to love Him, love others. These are not like, it's not smorgasbord. You know what a smorgasbord is, right? It's not smorgasbord. You walk out like, yeah, I'll take some macaroni and cheese and Yeah, I'll take some of this fish. I'm done. That's enough for me. No. It's all His will, and we're supposed to take it all. Right? Failing to do, not to know of the will of the Father, but to do the will of the Father, is building your life on sand. Here's the way it's described very explicitly in the Scriptures. To him or her who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin. So it doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. Okay? It's interesting that nobody said this is the will of God that we don't sin sexually. Nobody said that. And yet that's one of the most explicit statements in the New Testament. This is the will of God that you abstain from fornication. And that is where we live, isn't it? That's where humans actually live, isn't it? Come on, people! So, well, I'll do the will of God over here. He wants me to give money. I'll give the money. He wants me to gather with other believers and wave my hands and sing praises. Oh, I can do that. But what I do in my body, I mean, my body, my choice, you know. Failure to do the will of the Father is building your life on sand. And this is not, will the storm come? The storm will come. And you'll have nothing left. Number two, not only is failure to do the will of the Father building your life on sand, but doing, there are many other things. You can make a long list of things we know is God's will for our life. Okay. It's God's will for my life when somebody speaks to me in a way that's not kind. You want to guess what God's will for my life is? Yeah, that's my will, is to smack them. God's will is for me to be kind, turn the other cheek. It doesn't matter if they're my enemy, love your enemies, or my friend, or my family, my co-worker. It could be Danny, it could be Jason McConnell, it could be my son, it could be my wife, doesn't matter. God's will. Number two, building your house on sand is doing wonderful works without being known of God. Doing wonderful works without being known of God. I believe there is something in all of us since the fall. It's universal. You see, it shows up in every religion on the planet, even in Christianity. Even shows up in my life and in my heart. We have something on the inside that says, you're really in trouble. I mean, you've really screwed up. You're in trouble. Sometimes we don't even know where it comes from. You know, we can't even point to something specific. We just feel guilty. You know, it's like, I'm just guilty. Well, what'd you do? I don't know. I just don't feel, I feel guilty. And so our conscience says, well, you better make up for that. Because that's what all religions say. You got some ground to make up, and here's how you do it. You take a pilgrimage to Mecca, and that'll help you make up the ground, right? Or you sit in a funky position, and you eradicate all thoughts from your mind, and you zen out, or whatever they call it, right? And this will help you to get connected with, you know, your chi or whatever that stuff is they say. And you've got to do this, and this will help you, and you'll atone for your... We all want this. And it even shows up in Christianity. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He didn't say some. He said many will say to me at the day of judgment, Lord, I did all kinds of stuff in your name. He said, I will say to them, depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He doesn't say your works weren't quite adequate. He says, I didn't know you. And if he doesn't know you, you don't know him either. You may think you do, but you don't. Doing wonderful works without being known of God is building your life on sand. I'm absolutely convinced that all of us, myself included, even though I know better, deep down on the inside, I think if I behave really well this week, God will give me what I want. I mean, I got something I want, and if I really behave well, you know, he'll owe it to me. He'll give it to me. He's already done everything. You know that? He's already sacrificed his son for your redemption. we're way behind. You can't catch up, okay? So every good thing he ever does is just an extension of what he's already done, and we're just responding to his goodness, right? But when we do things and it's about, you know, I will somehow manipulate God into giving me what I want, you don't know God, and apparently he doesn't know you, or this would not be your paradigm of thought. Now, that's my flesh that does that, and it always is wrong. My flesh is always wrong, all the time, every time. The Spirit on the inside says, it doesn't work that way. God's love is not conditional. He just loves you, and you're his because of what Jesus did. You want to worship and serve out of gratitude and a response of love, then let's do it. But the works of the flesh, our works, our efforts, no matter how wonderful they may be in the eyes of the people around us, if we do them without being known of God, and you know what your flesh says? If you're listening to your flesh right now, your flesh says, that's not fair. I should get credit. I did something and it hurt. I did something and it cost me something. I should get credit for that. That's the flesh. Doing wonderful works. Look, I didn't say this. Jesus said it. It's the fool who does wonderful works, maybe even slapping the label done by Jesus or done for Jesus on it. But doing wonderful works without being known of God is building your house on sand. My point is, it doesn't matter how beautiful your life looks. You could impress everybody. You could be the first person that the Pope declares to be a saint, or the cardinals or whoever does that. You could be the first person that the Catholic Church declares to be a saint while you're still alive. You could be awesome! But if your good works are done apart from God knowing you, you're building on sand. Think about the great tragedy of somebody standing at the judgment, the great white throne judgment of God. I mean, their life is over. They're standing at the great white throne judgment thinking it's going to work out. Never mind, Tony, that everybody in front of them was condemned. And they will say, but, I did this, I did that. And will be surprised when they are condemned. Brother Todd, Dave Stewart used to say there's something worse than going to hell. It's going to hell thinking you're going to heaven. And that's what Matthew 7 is about. If you're trying to earn your way to God for your salvation or for your sanctification, you're building on sand. Number 3, Jesus also said that building your life on sand or without a foundation is hearing the words of Christ but not doing them, not obeying them, not putting them into practice, refusing to act on them. So at this point, if you're really paying attention and if you have a little bit of spiritual discernment, you may have already said in your mind, these three things are the same. Failing to do the will of the Father, doing wonderful works without God knowing you, being a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word, this is all the same thing. And you're right. It is all the same thing. Listen, this is my temptation. Those of you who are part of one of my grace groups, I assume you can tell I love learning. I love words. I love teaching. I love discussing all these truths, man. It's like from here to kingdom come. Let's talk about it. But the redemption is not in the exercise of academics. The Bible actually says that if we hear the words but don't do them, we deceive ourselves and we're worse off, not better off. I think I've already said that in the message this morning. We're lying to ourselves, we're tricking ourselves, and we're worse off, not better off. Better not to know the way of righteousness than to know it and not follow it. The two houses, or the two lives, as I've already pointed out, may look the same for a while. The storm and flood will reveal the nature of the foundation. I was reading David Guzik's commentary on Matthew 7. I highly recommend, if you don't have any Bible study tools and you have any internet savvy at all, go to blueletterbible.com, look up the passages that you're reading and studying, and read what David Guzik has to say about it. He's easy to understand, and he stays on target. He gave this quote, and he's actually quoting from somebody else, but he said concerning this truth, time and the storms of life will prove the strength of one's foundation, even when it's hidden, even when the foundation is hidden. We may be surprised when we see who has truly built on the good foundation. At last, when Judas betrayed Christ in the night, Nicodemus faithfully professed him in the day. Now, if you're not biblically literate, you may not understand that statement. Do you know who Nicodemus was? He was a religious man. He was a moral man. He was a rabbi, a teacher. He watched what Jesus was doing, and he was like, this is not just another teacher. This guy came from God. So he went to him in private at night alone and asked him his questions. And I think all of us, if we're honest, look at Nicodemus, and somewhere in our mind we say, what a coward. You're the teacher. I mean, you're always telling everybody else what to believe and what to do and what to know. And now you're bashful, and now you're going to go crawling to him in the dark. And yet in the end, Nicodemus was the real deal. When Jesus died and everybody else had forsaken him, everybody else except John and a few women, Nicodemus was one of the two who went and begged the body of Christ before the judge. At the time when Nicodemus was coming at night going, well, you know, Judas was a public apostle. He was walking with Jesus in the daytime. He was preaching. I believe he was actually performing miracles. Jesus sent them out by twos, and they had the power to perform miracles. And everybody believed Judas was the real deal. All the disciples around him believed he was the real deal. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't turn around and say, I bet it's Judas. They didn't do that. He had them convinced. But in the end, it was at night, Judas came, kissed Jesus, betraying him, demonstrated that his foundation was not Christ. So you can persuade the people around you that you're the real deal. You can have lots of motion. You can have lots of information. You can have lots going on that makes people around you say, that's... What did Jesus say in Matthew 7? The false prophet comes in sheep's clothing. I mean, I'm sure he really sells it. He says, bah. And all the sheep are like, smells like a sheep, sounds like a sheep, must be a sheep. Come on over. But it's a wolf, Jesus said, under the sheep's clothing. Two houses may look the same on the outside, but two lives may look identical on the outside. In fact, the unbeliever's life may actually look better. But the question is your foundation Christ? If it's not, you're building on sand, and your house will wash away.
Thank you for listening today. I trust that you received a blessing from God's Word. I hope you will listen again next week as we look at the Scriptures once again.
Grace Youth Ministries invites you to come to Grace Baptist Church, 510 North Main Street in Hurlock, Maryland, on Saturday, April 9th. to watch the movie The Passion. Admission is free, but donations will be accepted to benefit our missionaries, Patrick and Shell Reed, who currently serve the Wolof people in the Gambia in Africa. The Passion is rated R for graphic violence. Doors open at 5:30 that evening, and the movie is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. Free hot dogs and popcorn will be offered. Once again, this movie event is scheduled for Saturday, April 9th, just 8 days before Easter. All are welcome.